sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes.
That's Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Last night, Grandmaster Flash was behind the turntables at MTV's Video Music Awards. Flash is one of the pioneer hip-hop DJs. In the 70s, he developed mixing and scratching techniques that became part of the basics of hip-hop. He started off DJing records at parties in the South Bronx. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five was one of the first hip-hop groups to break out of the local scene and become an international success. When I spoke with Flash in 2002, we started with a track from his CD that had just been released called Essential Mix Classic Edition, featuring his mix of dance hits of the 70s and 80s. Music from the new Grandmaster Flash CD, the Essential Mix Classic Edition. Grandmaster Flash, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you for having me.
I'm interested in how you started mixing music, how you started using two turntables or maybe even more than two. Was this something you started doing at home or in clubs as a DJ?
My love for vinyl and for the turntables probably came about when I was old enough to sort of start looking into turntables and stuff of that nature. And that's probably, you know, although it was a negative experience, and when I say negative, meaning like I used to just sort of take apart electrical items in my mother's house, including turntables, just to figure out how they work and why they work. And my intention was to put it back together properly, but I just could not do it. But I just had this thing where I just had to know how the inside of a turntable worked, how the inside of a radio worked, and how my father's stereo, and that's probably where it really started. Just like to have this undying interest of.
Well, you basically started using turntables as if they were instruments. How did you start using turntables to change the music that you were listening to, as opposed to just playing the music?
Well, I think coming up, I watched a lot of DJs in my early teens, and watching the DJs of that particular time, they were playing the music. Like my influences, although they were great positive influences, I'm talking about DJ Kool Herc and DJ Jones. These two DJs inspired me to do what I did, and they would play the music, and I just sort of felt like I can take the most exciting part of a record, which we call the break, and sort of extend that, because a lot of these songs that I was listening to were like obscure funk tunes where the break section was like maybe 10 seconds long. And from a frustrated point of view, I had this thought that if I can just come up with a system, a way of just taking duplicate copies of the record with two turntables and a mixer, I can extend that five or 10 second part seamlessly and make it 10 minutes if I wanted to. And that's, you know, my thoughts manifested into creating an art form called the quick mix theory, which is actually taking a passage of music or two duplicate copies of vinyl and sort of moving the disc back and forth and repeating a section of the passage, you know, between duplicate copies of the record. That's where it started.
So you'd let like the 10 seconds play on one record and then switch to the other turntable and meanwhile back up the first turntable to the beginning of that part of the record.
Exactly. That was called the clock theory, yeah.
Because you were putting the needle down on exactly the right part of the record with the rhythm that you wanted to hear, could you actually, you know, some people say that you were able to look at the grooves of a vinyl record and know exactly where the rhythm was that you wanted, that you could actually see it in the grooves.
Well, actually, you know, I was pretty decent at it, but it was my first student that I taught this quick mix theory to, Grand Wizard Theodore was probably the best at that, and it was called needle drops. But what I came up with is what I call the clock theory, and the clock theory was where you would place the needles down on both copies of the vinyl, and when the ending of one was over, you would push in the next fader, but while the other one was playing, you would sort of spin the record back one or two revolutions to the top of that break, and then when the other one was over, you would push in the other, so it was like push, spin back, push, spin back. So I actually never, you know, this made it an assured way of being able to get back to the beginning of the break section without actually having to pull the needle up. And what I would do is I would mark, like on the label, if it was like a record from if it was a 12-inch from Atlantic Records, and if the break began at, let's just say, at the top of the A, I would sort of put like a magic marker right there. So that would be my clock of where I had to bring the record back to one or two revolutions back to re-arrive at the top of the break. And I would just sort of do this with two copies of records back and forth. So picking up the needle, you know, was no longer an issue because that day wasn't definite. Because once you picked it up, you know, I could always get close to it, but it was never really like exact. And creating the clock theory, which all DJs use today now, where they mark the album at a certain point, is one of my contributions to the art of the DJ mix.
My guest is Grandmaster Flash. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Grandmaster Flash, one of hip-hop's turntable pioneers. He developed some of the mixing and scratching techniques that became basics of hip-hop. It was scratching something that you invented, or was that invented by one of the people who influenced you?
Well, actually, it was called cutting, and the whole thing was, like I said earlier in the interview, it's called the quick mix theory, and we called it cutting because it was actually taking a section of the rhythm and rearranging it. And this is something that I've created over 27 years ago. It's now called scratching, which is sort of just like one part. It's almost like, you know, saying to a boxer, he's boxing, but now we're going to call it right hook. You know, the right hook is only one area of a boxer's skill. And like the scratching is just one area of what this thing, you know, entails, you know.
Scratching, just for any of our listeners who don't know what scratching is when you're moving the record back and forth with the needle on it, and the sound of the needle scratching the record creates part of the rhythm track that you're going
right,
for.
Right, because of sort of sound.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So you must have been pretty obsessive at that time, taking apart turntables and shopping for just the right needle and, you know, designing all these variations on the technology that you were using so it could do what you needed it to do. You must have really been intense.
Well, I probably was more frustrated than anything because, I mean, so much stuff I had to buy, like a lot of it was trial and error, trying to get my hands on the right needle. You know, I had to go through countless needles, you know, trying to find the right turntable. I had to go through countless turntables and then finding the right mixer and then finding the right mixer. But then it didn't have a system where I can pre-hear the music in my head. So I had to create something called the peekaboo system. So I had to like actually jury-rig these things, you know, in my frustration. My frustration kept me more, it fueled the fire to me just staying at this and, you know, throwing away my teenage years, you know, where, you know, your teenage years is when, you know, you're feeling your oats and you want to go hang out with the girls and you want to go to the parties and stuff. I think I probably lived either like in the junkyards going through like abandoned stereo equipment or going through abandoned cars, taking out the speakers and the radios and stuff of that nature. I probably lived in my room more so, you know, just looking for something, you know.
Did you have the money to buy a lot of stereo equipment?
No, that's why I had to go into backyards and look for stuff sort of like go through abandoned cars or ask people, you know, that might have been throwing away stuff, just, you know, just so that I can just basically have these things. But at this point in time, I still didn't know what these internal parts was. So while I was tearing up all the stuff inside my mother's house, it became like Public Enemy number one with my sisters and stuff. my mother decided to send me to school.
What kind of school?
Samuel Gompers Vocational and Technical High School. And that's where I started to understand, like, what is a resistor? What is a capacitor? What is AC versus DC? What is a transformer? What's a push-pull circuit? What's a diode rectifier? What's transistorized versus tubes, and what's an ohmmeter, and what's an oscilloscope, and what's a wave, and you know, I started like actually understanding as I was, you know, not so now when I tore into something, I sort of had somewhat of an idea of what it is and what it did. So all these things helped me to jury rig and put together, you know, this peekaboo system to a mix that I didn't have it, and to figure out, you know, how turntables work and how that works. So it kind of helped me to put together the system so that I can start on getting this concept out of my head that just kept, you know, it just kept staying in my head, so to speak.
Why don't we listen to one of your now classic recordings, and this is The Adventures of Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel.
You say, one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Bad Bob Betty told me everybody's side. DJ spinning, I said, my, Flash is back. Flash is fast, Flash is cool, Francois,
Sifar,
Flash ain't
no dude. You say one for the trouble, two for the time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
That's Grandmaster Flash from the early 80s, one of his classic recordings, The Adventures of Grandmaster Flash on the Wheels of Steel. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to hear that again, but this time, keep your microphone on and have you describe what you're doing as we listen to it. Here we go.
You see,
punch face.
You see,
Spoon and G Monster Jam. I let it go there.
Time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
It's a Blondie here.
DJ spinning, I said, my, Flash is back.
Punch face. Punch face.
Flash is cool, Francois, Sifar, Flash ain't no dude.
You say one for the trouble.
Back to Spoonie again.
Time. Come on, girls, let's rock that.
Into Good Times, Chic. Into Apache on the Rub. Cutting it up. Back in again. Punch face, Queen, another one bites the dust. In. Cutting into rhythm. I'm using Good Times to rub the rhythm against Queen. Good Times by Chic.
That release is so nice, the way it synchronizes there.
Thank you. That's the whole key to it, you know. That's what my contribution is, keeping it on time. That was like the key.
Grandmaster, come faster.
It's I punch bass from Freedom.
Grandmaster, come faster.
Cutting it up.
Grandmaster, come faster.
Punch face in Good Times. Back to Good Times.
My guest is Grandmaster Flash. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Grandmaster Flash, one of hip-hop's turntable pioneers. He developed some of the mixing and scratching techniques that became basics of hip-hop. Now, when we left off in your development as a DJ, you were still working at home and scavenging audio equipment from junked cars and things like that. Once you perfected your technique and you started working parties and then working in clubs, what was it like for you to see the reaction of the crowds to the thing that you had been doing alone in your home?
Well, I think probably the first time when I first... I guess after maybe a three-year period, when I finally came up with it, I showed my partners Disco B, Easy Mike, and as I was creating it, they were the only ones I would allow to really come into my room and sort of like watch me do this. And I think the first time that I decided that I would show this to the public, it was a outdoor dance, a block party we called it. You can come into the park for free and just, you know, come party. And I think the first time that I showed this, I said to myself, my theory was, if I play the climatic part of duplicate copies of a record, so it'd be like maybe 10 to 15 duplicates back to back, seamlessly, on time, you know, I should have the neighborhood park in an uproar, when I got the exact opposite. And it's kind of painful that, you know, it didn't work according to what I thought it would. People just sort of just stood there and just stood there quiet. You know, I'm talking hundreds of people, and it didn't get loud, and they didn't party. They didn't do what I thought.
Why not?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what it was at that time, you know, because I had all the equations, right, you know, sort of set. You know, I watch these songs, the songs that I picked, I watched certain DJs play from the beginning, and I knew that at that particular part is where the audience went wild. So I figured, let me just go to the part of these songs and just do them one behind another, but it was just extremely quiet. And it turned out that the real fact of the matter is this vocal entertainment was sort of needed to accompany this new way of DJing. And I made the first attempt, and I was totally horrible of trying to like rap with my mixing, and it was really too much to do at one time because it's constantly, you know, it's a constant, you know, taking records on, taking them off, putting them on, you know. So I was horrible at it, and then what I would do is basically put a microphone out on the other side of the table, and anyone that thought that they can verbalize to this newfound science of mixing, please feel free, you know. Everybody failed except for this one person who probably was like the savior of my esteem. His name was Keith Wiggins. He was my first MC. He went by the name of Cowboy. And Cowboy had a way of, he reminded me of like a ringmaster at the circus, you know, and he had a very commanding voice. And he came up with a verbalization, like, you know, throw your hands in the air, say this, ho, say party, and this and that. So that was the perfect diversionary tactic to get people off of looking at me and to look at him and do what he says do while I go through a series of breaks, you know, just playing one behind another seamlessly to the beat.
Grandmaster Flash, recorded in 2002.